Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, hour number two here on this Friday morning. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. As we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across the way. AB with your updates. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose. At official Taz1Z at Mark Malusis with a C. Series 213 XM 201 961 on the old app as well. As we kick off hour number two, you know, continue the conversation that we had in hour number one, Taz, and certainly talking about the winners and certainly the losers coming out of day one of the NCAA tournament. And we'll get into a little NFL as well. And plenty of your calls at 855-212-4227. We want to hear from you. If you're a Wildcat fan, Arizona, that is, disappointed, certainly I am, in their performance last night and their loss to Buffalo. If you tore your brackets up after day one, join the club. And if you certainly had looked at day one of the NCAA tournament where you got some good moments, I thought Rhode Island, as we discussed, yeah. Wrapping up hour number one, Rhode Island and Oklahoma was a good game. Chicago-Miami was a good game. The stunning nature in which Arizona lost was an interesting and entertaining game, especially if you're a Buffalo fan. The Bulls fans up in Buffalo in the snow, the celebration videos on social media last night were highly entertaining as well. Jumping through tables in the snow, running barefoot through the snow, highly entertaining as well. After that, I would say teams that we were most impressed by, Taz, I'd look at Villanova. They put on an absolute show. I know it's a 1-16 matchup. That Villanova team is going to be a difficult out if you're Jay Wright. For Jay Wright and the Villanova Wildcats, they're a really good offensive team. I know it's a 1-16 matchup. You look at Kansas has struggled. Early on, were able to cement home and hammer home a victory yesterday afternoon. I thought Seton Hall looked good against North Carolina State.
Yes, I agree. But yes, I do agree with you. Back up though, like the Kansas UPenn game.
Yeah,
a lot of people thought that could be the upset of upsets right there.
Because
UPenn's a good squad. University of Pennsylvania, it wasn't. It was a blowout. Not a blowout, but it was 76-60 was Kansas.
Right, it was a five-point game at about the 15-minute mark of the second half. So
I watched
it was
most
a close game, yeah.
I was all over. I mean, I got to tell you, I got DirecTV, which is a great brand, by the way.
Yeah.
And on one of my TVs, I got DirecTV, and they have a split-screen Jones where you could watch. I watched all four games.
Nice.
Dude, it's great.
That's fantastic.
It's great. See, if you have cable, I don't know if you could get that, like, DirecTV does that, like with the NFL packages and stuff. Same thing with this. I had four games going at once.
Nice.
And I recorded a podcast for something different at the same time.
Well, look at you.
Well, I multitask. I also book travel. I do all sorts of stuff.
Very, very nice. Very nice.
As Mikey B cracks up behind the glass.
Right.
Inside joke.
Exactly
Jones.
Right.
Yeah, so.
That's right.
It is, but yeah, Penn gave Kansas a little bit of a scare
before the
Jayhawks were able to lengthen out that lead probably about the midway point of the second half. I'll tell you, I think Seton Hall, senior-oriented team, Kevin Willard, finally got their first tournament victory, third straight trip to the NCAA tournament. They've got Delgado, Rodriguez. They've got a good Seton Hall team. Because of the size of Seton Hall and the lack of size on Kansas and Kansas being so perimeter-oriented, if Seton Hall plays well, they've got to play well. They could give Kansas a game on Saturday afternoon or Saturday. I don't know what time that game is. I think Seton Hall, Kansas is going to be a good basketball game.
I think you might be right, my friend. I'm sure you got a chance to watch a good chunk of the Kentucky-Davidson game. We talked a little about Davidson. That was a great game. I really enjoyed that game. And, I mean, it's kind of hard not to root for Davidson because they're going against Kentucky. And Kentucky is hard not to root for them. They got a bunch of young guys bowling. I mean, it was great. Kentucky won 78-73. But, it was tough because they came super close to Davidson. And you kind of had a – you kind of – Yeah, they're an underdog, you know, but that's why they're an underdog, and that's why they lost, because they're not as good as Kentucky.
Right, they're not, right.
Real simple, basically.
And McKillop, a Long Island guy, a good coach.
Yeah.
So, in Long Island, New York, I should say, I know we're on nationally, but well-respected coach, has been at Davidson for a while. Obviously, Steph Curry's coach. They're going to be – it was a good run that they had to get themselves into the tournament. Good experience for that program, for that team, for that group, especially the younger players on Davidson. But they went up against a Kentucky team, Taz, that after they had that players-only meeting, everything really changed around. Shooting percentage, sharing the basketball defensively, a lot of things turned around. And Calipari was a guy that mentioned it after the brackets were unveiled. He feels his team's got an unbelievable amount of upside because of the amount of freshmen that they play, which is a fair take and a fair point.
I think he's right. How about your Jackrabbits? They did the job, as we call it. They lost.
They did lose.
And I had my Buckeyes. I had the Buckeyes
winning. Ohio State did win, correct.
I got you on that one too, pal. But anyway, the Jackrabbits, though, really good squad. That Mike Dom, that big giant kid they got, he had 27 points.
Yep.
Talk about a guy, like, he's very impressive. Like, he's just a big body guy who just goes to the rack and he don't care. Like,
yeah.
Talk about a guy not dishing off, and he had some simple looks. He could have moved the ball and he didn't do it towards the end of that game. I can't recall who the commentator was, but he did say, listen, he's got guys wide open right now and he's trying to do everything himself. And yeah, and I think that hurt them a little bit. I mean, I give the kid credit for his heart. He's a massive human, this young man.
He is. And that game really turned about a minute and a half to go.
It did.
It was a tie game, and South Dakota State unfortunately fouled. Ohio State shooting a three.
Yes.
Hits the three, knocks down the free throw. Four-point game, come back down offensively, empty possession, miss a free throw, miss a layup, I should say. Ohio State comes down, shoots a three, misses it, rebound, goes right back up, gets fouled on the three. It goes from 70 to 70 to 74-70 to then 77-70 in two offensive possessions for Ohio State. That is what changed the complexion of that game. Even at 74-70, South Dakota State, if they get a stop and the initial shot was a missed three, they had an opportunity to go back down and make that a one-possession game. But then the foul, to foul three-point shooters, on the same three-point shooter on two successive possessions.
Correct.
I mean, it's just terrible for South Dakota State, and that really ended any hopes of a miracle for the Jackrabbits.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. And, you know, the kid Mike Dom, I'm looking now, wow, he's 6'9", 250. He's a junior. He's a huge person. He's impressive. He's impressive. He basically was the whole offense for the most part. But now the Buckeyes got it done, though. But it's just nice to see these mid-majors, these underneath guys, as we'd call them in the wrestling business, guys that are fighting from underneath, you know, battle like we've seen yesterday.
And get an opportunity.
It's
and
great.
They certainly did. And one of the other great stories was the 98-year-old Chaplin.
Oh, Chicago Loyola.
Yes, for Loyola Chicago, Sister Jean.
Loyola Chicago.
Right. And
Stussic.
It is Dante Ingram who hits the game-winning three for Loyola Chicago to knock off Miami. And here is Loyola's 98-year-old Chaplin.
We asked God to help us, and I told God that we would do our part if he would do his part. And I hope the referees would call the right kind of a game, that nobody would get injured, that we play with confidence, and we know we'd win the game. And then at the end, when the buzzer rang, we wanted to be sure the score said we had the big W.
Yeah, old school Jones. I watched this woman get interviewed. She's really cool, man. She's sitting there in a wheelchair, and she talks as, which is funny, like she's really part of the team, which they have her almost as part of the team. She's a woman of her, what, she's 98, we said? 98? I think she's 98.
98 years old, correct.
I mean, she has her mind together, man. I mean, I give her a lot of credit. She was great. She stole the TV waves yesterday, man. She was awesome. I saw the interview. It was great. And great win for Loyola Chicago, for sure.
Loyola, yeah, tremendous win. And she's certainly in the interview. I saw that as well.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It was cool.
It's a great story. It really is. And the caller referenced, he got the dates wrong. He was referencing 1963, not 53, the caller that called up earlier in the first hour in terms of Loyola Chicago. When there was an unwritten rule in NCAA basketball of starting more than three black players, they started four NCAA tournament game versus an all-white Mississippi State team. And certainly the game played a pivotal moment in civil rights history. So it wasn't, they weren't the first, they were the first to start four. They've obviously, when we mentioned Texas Western, which is now UTEP, and beating Adolph Rupp in Kentucky, happened obviously before 1963.
So yes. There you go. And for those that don't know, Loyola, I mean, Loyola Chicago, not to be confused with what many people might not know, Loyola in Maryland. Loyola in Maryland. Which, pretty good basketball hoops program, too, down there, I believe. And the lacrosse is tremendous there.
Yeah.
I know that.
More better lacrosse than basketball.
Better lacrosse. They're in Baltimore. Yeah. They're right near Johns Hopkins. But that's why. So when I hear Loyola as a lacrosse guy, I think of the one in Maryland.
No, this is Loyola,
yeah,
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
855-212-4CBS, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Andrew in Jasper, Alabama. You are on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on, Andrew?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing good. First, I wanted to say I appreciate, Taz, you responding to me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, man. No problem. I love interacting with folks on the social media. I'm a very friendly man, as you know, I guess, Andrew. Now you know.
what do you guys think about Avery Johnson's coaching job?
He did a great job last night for Alabama. I'll be honest with you. Usually when you see guys transition pros to college, you're not necessarily sure about the commitment. It's just completely different, night and day, apples and oranges in terms of your job responsibilities. When you're looking at paid professional athletes, communicating them as compared to looking at 18, 19-year-old kids on a college campus, the recruiting, making sure you're within the NCAA rules during the recruiting process as well. Avery Johnson's a motivator. I mean, as he's a motivator, he's an inspirational figure. He's a really good guy. He's had success at Alabama that I wasn't necessarily sure he was going to have. And you give him credit. Now you got to be able to recruit the players. Talent reigns supreme. Sexton's a hell of a player for Alabama, and you saw them. And they're going to have games. The Tide are where they shoot the lights out. And for large stretches of that game last night against a pretty good Virginia Tech team. They had some good wins this past year against Buzz Peterson. They shot the lights out, and Alabama put on a show, and it was a fun game to watch, entertaining game to watch.
Yes, it was, kind of, because this was one of my rare reds, my rare losses. I had Vatek moving in to play Villanova. So, I was an 8-9. Vatek was the 8. Bama was the 9. And I did the job. I lost. Who'd you have in this?
I don't even remember. Alabama, I guess. I don't even know.
I think you did have Alabama.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think you did have Alabama. Did you have a lot of red?
I probably, since I'm sitting in last place.
You didn't look? Well, you only
considered I didn't look. I had
Arizona moving on, not as far as you, obviously, but two of my reds are Arizona.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't really look on a day-in, day-out basis.
Why? It's only one day. Just day one. You should be on top of this, Moose.
No,
this is breakfast.
I don't look on a day-in, day-out basis.
You're too busy.
No, I don't. I look at the end of the two rounds. I look on Monday to see where you're standing.
Then so you have a whole system.
No, I just to follow
sounds
it,
like a system.
To follow it after the first day.
It's exciting. Really, that's what we want our listeners to do. I love it. I live on this day.
I get it, but the first day doesn't decide anything.
Doesn't matter. It's fun.
I get it's fun. I understand.
Unless you lose you just get crushed day one.
Like I did. Right. You're right. I lost Arizona.
Then it's different.
But I don't look at it like that. I'm not judging a game based on whether or not I won or lost. I thought it was an entertaining game. I didn't remember who I picked with Alabama and Virginia Tech. Nothing to do with busy. It has to do with the fact of I thought it was a good basketball game. I thought you watched those two teams play last night. They put it all on the line. And that's what you want to see from an NCAA tournament game. And you give Avery Johnson, you give Alabama a whole hell of a lot of credit. It's nothing to do with busy. It's just a case of I'm not looking at it day in and day out.
I was joking, bro. I was joking. I'm looking at mine. I'm excited about it because I'm doing
you
well.
You should be. I'm not.
I got a lot of green. Look, I got green. Look at my computer. Look at the green.
Not as good as the cat.
Yeah, he's beat me by a little bit, Leon. Give me a break. Yeah. Look at the green, Moose. You kidding me?
It's great.
Yeah, I got the. It's fun, right? It's fun. We got breakfast for the loser. It's a little fun, little ha ha.
We got
so many people, and we have to thank all of you people who joined.
Who's not having fun with it?
I don't know. I mean, I know I'm having fun.
Yeah,
I know.
You're sitting in, you know, you're sitting in,
you're in the catbird seat.
In the catbird seat.
That's right. That's
right below the cat.
Because I don't know. I could do. That was funny. I could be crushed by tomorrow. So that's why I got to run with the happiness now. But I think that we need to real quick thank everybody who joined our Taz and Moose Bracket Challenge, because there are tons and tons of people who did that. So we need to thank you guys and to play along. And if you do win, we'll put you over on the air, make you a star, get you on here, promote your Twitter, and get all your entitlement out of the way. That's
absolutely
what we'll do for you winners.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call to get involved. It's Taz and the Moose with you coming up. Jordy Nelson, a Raider, and Ndamukong Suh is a free agent. We'll touch upon that and some of the other wheelings and dealings in the National Football League. That comes your way next. Remember, 8:25 a.m. Eastern Time, Clark Kellogg, CBS, joins us. Good Friday, everybody. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. We'll get into some of the other the NFL wheelings and dealings. Jordy Nelson now going to be donning the Raider uniform in 2018. We'll get into all that and more. First, the update. Here's AB. What's going on, Andrew?
Guys, your update's brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol's finally making razors? That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. So many bad jokes about Sean Miller paying for this. Arizona not only upset, but blown out by Buffalo in Boise last night, 89-68, a 21-point win for the 13 seed over number 4. Miller giving the credit, all of it, to the Bulls.
We ran into a team that played well on a night where we didn't. They certainly had a lot to do with that.
As you guys mentioned last hour, after the embarrassment, both DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier said they are leaving Arizona for the NBA draft. Ayton said he's had his mind made up for a while.
It was always out there. That was always my dream to always go to the NBA. So me and my mom always would talk about it, throw it out there, something like that. So I'll say probably in the summer.
Ayton could be, should be, might be the first pick in June. Back on the court.
So it's been there for a while.
Yeah, before he started the season at Arizona. He knew he was one and done, which is fine. Back on the court last night, Houston and San Diego State providing the last-minute drama.
5 seconds, Gray starts to go, crosses over, drives, leans in, scores it! He flipped it up and in off the window! 1 second remaining, timeout San Diego State!
That's Brandon Godin on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. The Cougars and Aztecs traded threes before Rob Gray's game winner for Houston, 67-65. The final. Kentucky also avoiding the upset, 78-73 over Davidson in the South bracket. From the East, Thursday to Texas Tech fought off Stephen F. Austin, 70-60. And number 3, Michigan, took care of Montana, 61-47 in the West. Texas A&M and Providence tip off today's schedule at 12:15 Eastern. Meanwhile, Georgia has hired Tom Crean as its new head coach, the former Indiana and Marquette coach, reportedly getting a 6-year deal. The Houston Rockets clinched the Southwest Division with a 101-96 final over the Clippers last night.
With the Georgia job, Andrew, did they initially, were the reports true that they initially offered the job to Thad Matta?
Those were the reports, and then he said no.
But they did offer the job to Matta.
I saw someone that they did offer to Thad, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if they actually said it out loud.
Said it out loud, okay.
He seemed to be number. I mean, he was
there
the
next
day.
And then they went to Cream.
And then they went to Cream.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The Rockets beat the Clippers 101-96. The loss for L.A. drops them to 9th in the West. Utah's up to 7th now after a 116-88 decision over the Suns, while the Spurs hold number 8 this morning after beating the Pelicans 98-93. The Blazers pushed their win streak to 11, 113-105 over the Cavaliers, and the Raptors got their 10th straight win, 106-99 in Indy. Free agent defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh reportedly visiting the Saints today. Former Packer wideout Jordy Nelson, you just mentioned, signs with the Raiders, and the Jets have reportedly re-signed cornerback Mo Claiborne from the NHL. Nashville extending its point streak to 13 games, 3-2 in Arizona. Colorado takes possession of the West top wildcard spot, 4-1 in St. Louis. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate
thanks,
it, buddy.
Thanks, AB.
To some NFL news. Interesting couple things, Taz. Number one is, if you read today's Manish Mehta column in the New York Daily News, interesting column about the behind the scenes with Kirk Cousins, and the fact that Cousins really had made up his decision a while ago in terms of the Minnesota Vikings, where he basically during Super Bowl week out of Minneapolis He used that 5 or 6 days during that Super Bowl week when he was out there, Taz, to look at the city of Minneapolis. He drove around, looked at the suburbs, looked at in terms of if this was a place that he could live, looked at, did a lot of investigative work in terms of the Minnesota Vikings. He said, you know, this was not a process that began, obviously, at Thursday or 4 o'clock or when the, I would say Wednesday at 4 o'clock,
right.
or when the, on March 12th, when the session did begin, the open tampering could begin. You know, Cousins had looked at this for quite some time, and maybe it seems like he had made a decision that it was going to be the Minnesota Vikings if they were in.
Yeah, that surprises you?
The fact that when he was out Super Bowl week, I think it's interesting that he looked at that. Yeah, I do find it interesting that basically he had made up his mind already.
Before anything had already begun. I don't think, just like we heard about, we heard AB's up, well, we talked about earlier too, about Ayton deciding to go into the NBA draft, and, you know, he decided yesterday after Arizona lost. Same thing with Cousins. If people, you know, look, man, you, right, if you're an athlete, you're going to make money in a job, you know, where you can make millions, you don't just look at the trees, you got to look at the forest, right? So you got to look past the trees.
Yeah.
And that's what Cousins did here. He looked past the trees.
He did.
And
I'm not saying I'm surprised he looked at the other cities. I'm surprised that basically the decision was made already.
Well, maybe
it's not a matter of you're going to obviously look at where you're going to live if you want to live in that respective city. The fact is that basically the decision was made. If Minnesota was in, he was in on Minnesota.
Yeah, well, they got
there was no, and the Jets made a bigger financial offer. He had no interest in
right.
the Jets.
Well,
he
I basically thought for told, sure. I thought he was going to
he
the Jets.
He basically told Denver he's not going to Denver.
I still think he's going to the Jets.
Yeah,
no,
there
kidding,
you go. Here's Cousins as he got introduced in Minnesota.
Winning is what I said it would be all about, and it's true. I came here because of the chance to win. I felt like it was probably the best chance, and that's all that matters in this business. But more importantly than that, the chance to win comes from the fact that I believe in the leadership of this organization.
Yeah, he believes in, and Taz, we touched upon it, going from Washington to Minnesota for him is an upgrade, going to be treated as the guy, fully guaranteed 3-year, $84 million deal, and he steps into a scenario where he's got a lot of talent around him to win year number one.
Well, they believe in him. You know, we've heard and we know and we've learned that he really is, on a personal level, a structured guy. He wants that structure. And Zimmer and company in Minnesota bring that structure. They do win. You know, how do you not respect the brand of football that the Minnesota Vikings have evolved to, and where they're at last year going into this year? Even though they didn't go and, you know, win the Super Bowl, not like that, but they came pretty dang close. So I think it's a good move for him, and for him to look at that as a potential suitor before it was official while he was there, I'm not shocked at all. Why wouldn't he? If he's in town, right? What the heck? He might as well.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't that the fact that he looked at the schools or looked at the place he was living. Basically, the decision was made before free agency ever began that he was going to go to Minnesota.
He might have got an inside, you know, who knows, right? Maybe he talked to somebody.
Well,
I don't know.
No other team had a chance. I mean, he was going to Minnesota. I mean, that's ultimately what you take from reading that column is that he already made up his mind that if it was the Vikings were in, he was in. It wasn't a case of doing the investigative work on the city. So for Cousins, he didn't take the most money. He puts himself in a winning situation. Certainly it's a ton of money, but he was sitting in the prime bullseye position of being in free agency at the right time when teams were starving for relevancy and certainly starving for a quarterback, and Vikings starving coming off a disastrous performance in the NFC Championship game.
Yes, agreed. And who knows, right, Moose? I mean, who knows? If he really is telling the truth, like now he's shown the Vikings he's all in. Now he's going public saying, look, there was never nobody else. I always had eyes for you, baby. I mean, of course, that's you're gonna write it wrong.
Yeah.
No, I never liked any other girls, just you. Okay, that's kind of what this is, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, these could be fibbing a little bit. Don't believe everything these guys say.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I honestly kind of do. I mean, I
you believe him?
I do believe him.
All right.
I do. I don't believe everything every athlete says, but I do believe him when it comes to this, because I do think he could have made himself more money someplace else. And I do think he's a Midwest guy, and I think he looked at a situation, if you're comparing him to all the other ones, they're in a better position to win than Denver. They've got a better franchise than Cleveland. Cleveland wasn't in. More stable franchise than the Jets, and he was leaving an unstable situation down in Washington. So I kind of believe him. Maybe I'm being naive, but I kind of believe him. Maybe it's a case that he had made up his mind. So he's now a Minnesota Viking. With that being said, former Green Bay Packer Jordy Nelson is now a member of the Oakland Raiders. As he was let go, as we discussed earlier in the week, Taz, number 87 done in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers got a new big weapon at the tight end spot in Jimmy Graham. But it didn't take long for Jordy to find a home as he was flown out to Oakland. And we talked about yesterday that for all intents and purposes, it looked like it was a done deal. They went out to dinner. They wined and dined Jordy Nelson. And he ends up signing, I believe, a two-year, $15 million deal with $13 million of it being guaranteed. So Jordy Nelson's career continues in Oakland. They get rid of Crabtree. Reportedly, as AB has given you throughout the course of the morning, they're going to bring in Doug Martin as well.
Mm.
He steps into Oakland. Martin, who ran very, very hot and cold down in Tampa Bay, had some off-the-field issues as well. But now he joins Gruden out there in Oakland with the Raiders. So do you like Jordy Nelson now wearing the silver and black of Oakland?
I do, buddy. I do. It kind of reminds me of for those that remember Steve Tasker, Fred Biletnikoff.
Yeah.
But this guy's bigger. Yeah, yeah. It kind of reminds me of that type of guy that he would be with the Raiders. That Tasker was with the Bills. I think it's somebody else. But listen, Gruden's. I like the move here, and there's a potential chance. I know we'll get into talking here about Nick Dominic Sue. That Sue could end up with the Raiders. There's a slim chance of that. I could see that. But this Jordy Nelson. I don't know. I think it's excellent that Carr's going to have a weapon like him. I don't know if he's going to be the main go-to receiver. He's a little long on the tooth, is Jordy. But I still think he's got a lot left in the tank, and I'm a fan of the way the guy plays. He had great success. You know, with the Packers, I think he's going to do well. I like this.
Yeah, he did. Veteran guy.
Yeah.
Add him into the mix. They had issues at times with Crabtree. They get rid of Crabtree, and who was due, I think it was about $7.5 million for the upcoming 2018 season. And now they throw him into the mix with Amari Cooper. You had Doug Martin. You hope Carr is healthy. The offensive line plays better. A new offensive system with Gruden. Yeah, I think it works.
I think it works.
Yeah. You hope he's got game left. There's a reason why Jordy was not as much of a focal point as the offense this past year as compared to years gone by. They had found the new go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers, that being Davante Adams, the former Fresno State star for the Green Bay Packers. So he's easy guy to root for. He's a leader. Certainly a high-character guy to add into that locker room for the Raiders.
No doubt. And dude, you know what could happen, too? They can get a young receiver that can get groomed, like in the draft. They got the 10th pick, the Raiders. They get like a kid like Calvin Ridley from Alabama.
Yeah.
You get a kid like Ridley, who ends up with the Raiders, that kid's a stud, and you got someone like a Jordy Nelson that could help groom him. I'm telling you.
With Cooper there, I don't think they'd go wide receiver with the 10th overall pick. Cooper,
yeah.
with Cooper already being there, I don't think they'd go that route. They could address the wide receiver maybe later on in the draft.
People are projecting they'll go D-back. That's what people are projecting.
Yeah, I could see that. Where they could go defensive back, especially where you mentioned Ridley probably being the top wide receiver. I don't know if they'd go there, but yeah, to play to your point, could he help out younger wide receivers with the amount of experience he has? Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. So he's out there. Now he's an Oakland Raider. And then Ndamukong Suh, who's let go by the Miami Dolphins, who reportedly now will be visiting with the New Orleans Saints and the Titans are two of the teams. And we like what Tennessee has done already in NFL free agency, Taz. We chatted about that earlier in the week. And Ndamukong Suh, what kind of Suh do you think where the NFL is going to see in 2018?
Man, I know it's probably not the popular decision. I've always been a fan of Nebraska football, and I watched this kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore. I watched him when he was a kid at Nebraska, and what he did with the Cornhuskers. You know, there's a lot of spots that could utilize Sue. A lot of spots. He's still got a lot left to go here. I want to say it was maybe early in the week, maybe Monday. He posted some video early in the morning from Seattle. He's going to work out in a gym. So, and he said, I'm in Seattle at a gym. Like, a little cryptic, not cryptic, but, he's kind of like, creating some buzz. I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt, too, about him maybe going to the Eagles. Now, could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Okay, with that D-line, with that thing is just ready. It was great last year.
It would be insane.
Yeah, I could see, if I had to pick a team that I think will grab him, I can't pick one, I'll pick two. I'm going to say either Raiders or Cowboys. I don't know why. I think that the Raiders, they need some help. Mac needs some help. Camille Mac with some D linemen that could help keep some of those offensive linemen off him. And also, Sue is definitely, well, come on, if you think about the Raiders and the whole stigma, and now that Gruden's back, this guy's a Raider. He's a nasty, tough, at times dirty player. He fits the Raider scheme.
Yeah, he does. I could see him in Oakland. I could see him in Dallas. I mean, I could see him down in New Orleans. I could see him with the Saints.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
you're right.
A winning situation, too. Steps in the dome. I mean, I don't know where, you know, he's going to play a factor in terms of where he wants to live. Winning situation. He's played for a lot of losing franchises. Not a lot. He's made himself a lot of money. I'm sure the contract will come into play as well. Didn't necessarily work out in Miami. Ran into trouble at times when he was at Detroit. You mentioned how big of a player he was in Nebraska with the Cornhuskers. I could see him with Dallas. I could see him with Oakland.
How about the Chargers? Imagine the Chargers.
That's one team I don't know if I could see him with.
Well, you know why? Oh, I'm thinking they need help in the middle. Bosa. They got Bosa on the end. And what's his name? Melvin Ingram.
Ingram. Yeah. I'm not telling you that he doesn't work in the defense.
You just don't see him going there.
Yeah, I don't know if I see him going there.
You're probably
just
right.
Because they're playing in a soccer stadium. Let me ask you.
It's a good point. Yeah.
If the money was even and the Cowboys come calling, the Chargers come calling, you're probably going to sign with Dallas.
I think you're right. Yeah, no, I think you're
right. If the Raiders come calling or the Chargers, I'm not trying to knock the Chargers.
I get it for all the faithful out there.
They don't have a spanking new stadium to show them in. They're walking into a 25,000-seat soccer stadium. It's not exactly, you know, people had issues with the footing with there last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if necessarily I'd look at the Los Angeles Chargers and say that's where Ndamukong Suh's going to end up. But
defensive line-wise, they would need him. That's
would
what
work.
I'm saying.
I'm not talking about the fact you're right.
But you're right.
I mean,
no,
fitting
right.
a need, yeah. But let me ask you this, Taz. You're a defensive lineman. It's the Chargers or the Cowboys. Money's equal.
How about them boys?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I'm
right. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Angry LeBron James. He's back, as is Tiger. We'll get into all that and more next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV. On the go with March Madness Live, or listen in on Westwood One. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 is your number to call. Again, Bob, coming up at 8:25 a.m. Eastern Time, we're going to be talking with Clark Kellogg. Going to be joining Taz and myself twice a week throughout the course of the NCAA tournament, and he comes your way at 8:25 this morning. Eastern, that is, CBS Sports College basketball analyst. And we'll talk about all things day one NCAA tournament and look ahead certainly to day two today, as you'll have 32 teams in action in 16 games, and it gets going shortly after high noon Eastern time, a tad under 5 hours from now. With that being said, we talked a lot about some of the latest NFL wheelings and dealings, Taz, as of late, mixing a couple other topics and two really iconic men and iconic athletes. Let's start with LeBron James, where you saw a scene last night where him and Tyronn Lue getting into it on the bench. Issue or not?
I don't think it's an issue. We've seen this with McDaniels and Tom Brady. We've seen this with a lot of players and coaches. I really think I'm from the school of when it's in the heat of the moment, meaning the actual game, tensions are super high. It happens in college, and I've seen it happen in high school with athletes, and definitely in pro sports. So, because there's money on the line, it's ultra, ultra high elite competition, and it's, you know, competitiveness. So I don't have a big problem with it. I mean, yeah, obviously, the major overhanging cloud is, where's LeBron going to go? Like, he's going to leave into something, you know, something will be off the Cavs most probably. So I guess that's why some people are biting into this a little bit, what happened with him and Lou.
Well, not even an issue with him being a coach killer in Cleveland at times?
Well,
I mean,
say he is the coach. I mean,
well,
LeBron.
Well, right? Well, but, you know,
oh, you're saying with guys coming. I have a little issue with it only because he's bigger than the club. He's bigger than the brand. His brand, Moose,
right,
is bigger than the Cleveland Cavaliers brand, the LeBron James brand.
Right.
So he's bigger than the city he is in. I mean, he's LeBron James. His nickname, he's the king. I mean, King James. So do I have an issue with it? Well, kind of, but he built himself that by how good he is.
Right. I don't have an issue with coaches and players getting into it. Now, people that are going to read into it, they're going to look at his history where he finds guys to bury. And that's true. I mean, honestly, whether it be teammates or whether it be, former coach in Cleveland, who he basically scuttled off to Europe, who we talked to earlier on in the regular season, that's David Blatt. So, I mean, Tyronn Lue was the handpicked successor for David Blatt. So you see a scenario last night on the bench where it almost looks like LeBron James does it almost. It looks like he's telling Tyronn Lue to sit down. It's a very, very disrespectful for a man that holds a position. It looks that way anyway.
Right.
I'm going on the idea that Lou looks over and LeBron is mentioning basically like he's blocking LeBron's view to the court. And tells him to basically, it looks like he tells him to sit down.
Yeah.
That's
a little stiff.
There's only a certain amount of head coaches in the NBA. Regardless of, and you're right, Taz, that LeBron is the coach of the team, I do think it's a little disrespectful for a guy that holds a pretty prestigious spot. There's only so many NBA head coaches and so many former players that NBA end up being NBA head coaches, and Tyronn Lue is one of those guys, and he also want to help you. Tyronn Lue was the coach of the team when he won an NBA championship. I get it was LeBron's team. I understand it. I did think it came across poorly last night.
Yeah, I mean, to that level, if he is saying to him, sit down.
Because if you
like
watch
that,
it looks like he's telling him.
It kind of looks like.
It looks like he's motioning him to sit down. Does it not? He looked like he's telling him back up.
Right. We didn't see that with Brady. I'm just thinking of the last team we saw with coaches play. With Brady and McDaniels. It wasn't
Brady,
like
Bill
that.
O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien. I remember that.
The interception in Washington against the Redskins. And they're cursing at one another on the sideline. Remember that
That
whole
was
scene?
Epic. That was awesome. Yeah.
Right. That was an epic scene. But he's also gotten into it with McDaniels, which you hit upon. Brady's been one of those guys. There have been fiery and feisty guys.
This is different. If you're telling the guy to sit down,
well, that's what it appeared to me watching the video. That's what it looks like.
I'm thinking, it did look like that. Look, why is he allowed, right? Why is LeBron allowed to bury, if this is true, on his rep coaches and being a coach killer? Well, because ownership looks at LeBron as he's a point-scoring machine.
Yeah.
So that's why. He wins games single-handedly at times. So that's why, I know you know this, I'm just saying, that's why he's allowed to do that. He has that entitlement because, now, let's say, I think, for example, like LeBron, I think he's going to the 76ers, right? So I don't think he's going west. I think he's going to Philly. So let's say that happens. So right now, what is a guy like the head coach? What's his name? Brown?
Brett
Brown. What is Brown thinking right now? Right? What is he? Right? You know what I'm saying?
Is
he thinking?
I agree with you. Well, you play to your point, Taz, is that it's a players' league, right? It's not about the coaches. It's all about the players. If you have the talent, it's all about the the coach plays a role. It's not as big of an integral role as it once was. It's a star-driven league. You used to have two stars to win the NBA. Now you need three, and the Golden State Warriors have got four. So it used to always be the case, I've got one star. Who's the next guy that's going to join, right? Michael and Scotty go up and down the line. Karl Malone and John Stockton, even though they didn't win a championship. Gary Payton and Sean Kemp up in Seattle with the Supersonics. Go around the league. It was always two stars.
Yeah, yeah.
They could never find that guy for Patrick Ewing with the Knicks, right? They were always searching to find that secondary star. The league's completely changed now to where the coach's role is important to an extent because you have to manage and massage egos and deal with guys and the day-in, day-out grind of an 82-game NBA regular season, but it's whether or not you have the talent to play the point. It is LeBron James's team.
Right.
And even with that being said, and you need him playing at his best, I did think it was almost similar to when there was that scene with David Blatt where it was almost like David Blatt was on the outside of the circle when he was drawing up a play. Remember that scene? It was almost like the players like shunned him out.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah,
get out of here.
And he was the head coach of the team.
Get out of here.
Right. It was like the guy that you don't want around. Like, leave me alone. You know, like, the guy that hangs around, just get out of here.
Imagine trying that with Pop.
Yeah, no. Right.
Imagine doing that with a guy like him. You know what I mean? Like, forget
it.
Would
about never it. Happen, but that's the point last night with Lou.
Yeah.
You think he'd ever do that if Greg Popovich was coaching the team?
No, dude. It'd probably be a fist fight.
Yeah, never.
Pop would probably pop him.
Yeah.
I think LeBron would win the fight, but that's probably how the fight would start.
Right. I agree with you. I think it's just a bad look. But he's angry, and that's good news if you're a Cavalier fan, because when LeBron's angry and ticked off and feels disrespected, Taz, he takes his game to another level.
Yeah, he's a beast. I mean, and you know, he's ticked off. I mean, once the All-Star break happened, then they kind of this was like a whole new team, and they brought all the new, you know, new cats in there and stuff, Clarkson and stuff like that, and they've been all right. I mean, right? It's like they've been a little bit, you know, right? It's men's a men's, right? They're not exactly blowing the doors off teams here.
No.
You know? I thought it'd be a bigger... There was a lot of energy that first time those guys got on a court with them.
Yeah.
They came off the bench. There was a lot.
A lot.
It was like, wow, look at this. It's like a whole new Cavs team.
Right. And it seemed like they were ready to take off, and it hasn't had the same kind of impact. Now they'll ultimately be judged on what they do in the postseason.
Right, of course.
As long as they're going to get there, and if they go on a great run and get to the NBA Finals, everyone's going to say, wow, look at the trade.
Yeah, good move.
Great moves by Altman.
I'll say it too. What a move.
If they fall short in the NBA postseason, Taz, and they struggle – and they lose, say, before even the Eastern Conference Finals, people are going to be like, oh, and LeBron's going to look for someone to throw under the bus and move on to some other team in the offseason.
Listen, you know what we need to do between you and me? We should have that LeBron attitude with the big bosses over here in this company.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Ego Jones. I'm talking about, listen, this is what we want. This is how it's going to be done. Okay, we want it this way. We're just threaten them like that. We're just, you know, we bring the wood here. We know how talented we are. I mean, the people, between us.
I agree, but the problem we have there is, you know, you're trying to book hotel rooms for us for an NFL draft night. They're trying to find a cheap comfort lodge.
We're
Georgia State.
Pulling back. Yeah, right. You are. We are.
We're Georgia State.
We are.
We're not Cincinnati.
I can't follow that.
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm not even going to follow. It's impossible. I can't follow.
Taz is looking on his app as he's driving home yesterday trying to find hotel rooms so we could do an NFL draft show.
The Bulls completely pulling the curtain back. You're not peeking behind the curtain, folks,
well,
right now.
True.
You just pulled it back.
Well, I just pulled it back. I mean, you know, you want to be open and honest. That's it.
Not that open.
But there you go. Taz, thank you. You're now the travel agent.
I am just I try to help.
Absolutely.
I'm impatient. No, it is Moose. I'm just impatient. I don't want to wait for anybody else in the company to do it. I'm going to do it myself.
Right.
I get talent. I'm talent, but I'm also a travel agency.
Right.
I mean,
make sure you get that room. It's refundable.
Right now, to be frank, we have nothing booked. So
nothing booked.
I got to talk to my assistant about that. So.
Right. Right. That's it. Hopefully we're here draft night.
We could be.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see.
Amy Lawrence will be doing a show. She's like, what's that under the desk? She's Boosh, right. What are you doing sleeping under the desk?
Yeah, exactly right.
Is that Taz laying by the glass? What is going on over there?
Did Amy get invited into the pool, by the way, the NCAA tournament pool,
which she was
complaining about yesterday?
No comment.
Wait, there's a pool?
Yeah, there was a...
Which pool?
Entercom pool.
I'm not in it. Locally. Nobody told me nothing. Shun Jones. I'm with Amy, I guess. I wasn't told nothing. Why did you tell me, Mike? You're the producer.
I didn't know either.
You're a liar.
Why not lying.
Well, then how did you know about it when Moose just told you?
She had some comments about it.
She made some comments.
Well, I'm making comments now. That's a load of hogwash that I wasn't invited. But, of course, the Moose is in it.
I had to find the invite.
No, you got all your friends here that you worked with for years. You're all out to get me.
Yes. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get into, we'll take a look back down a walk, down memory lane. We will do that next. React to day one of the NCAA tournament. Big loss by Zoda. Ugh.
Epic
Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Epic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.